Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Third and final hour already. Time's flying by this morning. Well, let's take a slow ride down to Corpus Christi. See if we need to slow them lures down a little bit. Check in with Cliff Webb. Captain Cliff Webb, what's up, man?
Man, that music is better than coffee, buddy.
It is. I wish every day was Saturday. I love Saturday's music.
I do too, man. It's just that's, kind of going on there, buddy.
That's my era right there. Everything
yes,
he's
is.
Playing.
I'm thinking about you talking about surfing and smelling that good surf, man. I know what you mean.
Oh, man,
buddy.
There's nothing like it, is there?
I
wish I could still do it.
Oh, I remember when that the Doors came with that song Riders on the Storm.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
Yeah, we'd be going out to the beach. We'd go out to the beach after a big hurricane to surf like 20 foot. We're scared to death, and we'd play that song Riders on the Storm. You know, it was good stuff, buddy.
I'll tell you a song. Every time we went surfing that one year that it came out was Layla. Remember Layla?
Yeah.
I mean, every time we'd head to the beach, they'd play that song three or four times while we were in the car heading down.
Yeah, it's a little different now. I'm surfing now. It's kind of like the Pillsbury Poppin' Fresh Doughboy out there on a popsicle stick comes around now. It's a little bit different now, man. I get out there now. After the winter, it's not pretty, man.
Days back when we were young, all of, like, the Dewey Weber surfboards and Tanakas and remember all that and Hobies and
yeah.
Or,
it's
changed like fishing tackle.
Yeah, swimming yesterday, my shoulder is so stiff, man. I ain't moving. I'm paddling, but I ain't moving, you know. But it's all good. I'm out there, man. But, man, our fishing is it's just so close to being better. Our water has gotten a little bit better this week. It started out really slow again early in the week. You know,
right.
Had real high winds and real dirty water. Had guys on Monday. And, man, we had a little bit of a window in the morning where the wind was down to 20. So, I guess I'm serious. We piled out and, you know, in this one area, real shallow water, and I got four good fishermen, and we popped about a 5.5 and had a couple big blow-ups that were big fish and caught some other fish and a few reds, and just water was so dirty, Mickey. Man, the mullet were in there, and they were slick, and you could see them slick. Like, you bump a rock or something with your foot, and they slick, but, man, getting them to hit with all that bait in there and getting to eat them, but we caught a few fish, and as the wind came up, we had to get out of there, so we got a short window in that one spot, and the rest of the day, we just grinded, would pile out, and those guys would grind it out and catch a few fish. But, man, I tell you, it was one of those days. I was a flat biller, buddy. My hat blew off three times. I said, the only reason it's blown off is because it's a flat bill. I can't catch a big fish today.
Need to,
buddy,
put a bow in that bill, man. Keep that hat on. Suck it down.
That's what it was. That's what happened. That flat biller got the win. But, you know, it was so funny because that morning I couldn't find my normal hat, my Waterloo lucky hat. I can't find my hat somewhere else. So I grabbed another hat, had a flat bill on it, and it blew off. But anyway, so that was funny. But
I like,
you know,
those
just,
slope head hats, you know, where they fit down good on your head.
I've got some of those. That's the one. Yeah.
Instead of that old, you know, trucker crown on there. Remember the old trucker hats? You could never keep those hats on.
Oh, I remember those, man. You know, that
looked like a billboard above the bill. I mean, there was so much ground on it, you could ride anything on that hat.
But, you know, I usually wear a buff and it's over my hat so you don't blow off. But, you know, I'm going along with my buff all over my hat, and I turn to look at something, hit the bill, and knock it off. This is one of those things. I said, man, I ain't lost my hat once in a year, maybe. Lose it. That's the top of the day. You're a flat billing.
Flat billing.
I know. We got a bunch of trips this week. I'm pretty full this week. But, you know, our water's changed a little bit. It's starting to get a little bit better, green to it, some of the areas. But we just need a push of water from our Gulf. Mickey, I just hadn't had that tide runner push of water from our.
We're not getting those pushes either. You know, we're still dealing with low water issues.
Yeah, that's what's going on here. And then you had the, but you know, I saw something Monday that I have not seen is working birds. There were several flocks of working birds in Bath and Over Trout. We didn't stop on them because my guys are looking for something really big. But man, yeah. I was excited to see those working birds like that. The shrimp are really piling into the bay.
Well, you know? Good.
You know, so if I got people who want to catch numbers, the working birds will be a lot of fun because there's some pretty decent fish under those birds, but nothing like my guys want to catch.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, I'm glad your water's starting to turn over a little bit. Does the wind move that brown water around any? When you throw some winds, can it push it off of certain shorelines and make good water
what
behind
happens,
it?
So, yeah. It's so solid everywhere now. You know, it's all the way down, you know, past the cut and into Allison and stuff. And you know, finally, I was talking to all these guys in that fishing tournament last week in South Padre, how the water got better right before the tournament. But they were starting to get that brown tide in the southeast wind, moved it back north toward us. But we'll get the better water coming in, Mickey. But, you know, at least when you're dealing with real dirty water and glass minnow bite, it's a tough deal because,
yeah,
you know, you got real dirty, you know, so the last minnows are getting bigger now and the fish are keen on other things, so our bite's a little bit better. And what we're doing on these glass minnows, we're stowing some of these straight back Rapallos, you know, like these mirror minnows and stuff like that, mirror lure make with a lip and a real shiny side, and we'll throw them right in the pot of those glass minnows and twitch them. It looks just like a needle gar up there eating those glass minnows.
Uh-huh.
And those trout love those needle gar, so you flash it a couple times in that pile of you know, those kind of shower out of the water. You just let it sit there, and that big old trout will smoke it. You know, so we're kind of dealing with those jerk baits and stuff like that. And my buddy Bob that fishes the surf, he's going along the edge of the channel real early morning and daylight. Those glass minnows get real close to the rocks in the morning, so they won't get eaten. They get right up in the rocks, and he rolls that little thing and just twitches it and flashes it on the surface, and they blow it up on the edge. So it's pretty cool how these trout, you're faking them out. They think they're eating a little needle gar.
Right.
Straight backs. And it seems like it's working really good. And you can't use a big one, Mickey. You got to use like a 4-inch at the most, you know, with a real shiny silver.
Well, and look at the needle gar this time of year. They're real little, you know.
Yes, yeah, so they're real little. And they're eating them. And they're in there with those glass minnows eating them. And if you can trick one into thinking it's a little needle fish in there with those glass minnows eating it. Of course, I'm still getting my butt kicked, but – I mean, I know they're there, Mickey. I mean, I'm going to get them. I mean,
yeah.
And another thing is I've had 4 or 5 people in my boat every day. I can't drift fish. And there's some fish in the land cut I could catch with a trolling motor, but you can't do it with 5 people in the boat. You can't fish deep rocks with 5 people. You can't. It's just going to mess up. But, you know, eventually I'm going to get 2 or 3 people where I can, you know, wade in, drift both. Because when I turn the electronics on and I pull out that shallow water and get out there in 4 or 5 foot of water, that machine lights up.
It lights up. Yep.
Oh my God! All the fish out there.
Well,
so
that's the way it
fish.
Was last time when you know we were down there, me and John and Raphael fishing with you. I mean, we tried wading, we caught a few, but man, that machine—you'd pull off those flats and get out, and it just start lighting up, pinging everywhere. Yeah. I said, man, all the fish are out deep.
And I don't know if it's an oxygen thing with this brown tide or something's going on, but. Got some fish on shore, but I still got a lot of fish in 4 or 5 foot of water.
Yeah, and, I mean, I can fish anyway. I like it. Fishing's fishing. I'll do either one, whatever it takes.
Yeah, yeah. I got a really good guy coming, Money Hudson Moon, and he's got a house out in the back of Allison. And,
right.
He was talking to Chris Bush, the guy that has the speckled truth, and so he says he's a house there, and he has a bulkhead. He says, can I park in your yard and walk out in the back of Allison? He told Chris, I said, sure, man. So he pulls up there in his yard there, Moon's yard, and walks up there, catches a 31.5-inch trout in his backyard. I go, that's just wrong, man. You know, catch it on a Rapallo out there in the middle of that little slough, catch a 31 something. You know, that's really something. So there's a few big ones, you know, a few big ones around. I don't know if you looked at all that stuff in that tournament down in South Party. That was a great fishing tournament. Man, did you see all that stuff?
Yeah, there were some gaudy weights, man. I mean, they were like the top five was 22 pounds to 23-pound stringers. That's strong, buddy. 7-pound average, you
know,
over seven.
Oh, I know. Then some of them zeroed that were right on the top that zeroed the next day. And we're talking to those guys.
Well,
like
that just goes to show you that's the way those big fish are. I mean, if you catch them big fish in one spot one day when they light off for you, you might as well not even go the next day. Go somewhere else because they're not going to bite.
Yep, that's so true.
How many times have you seen that?
Oh, my God.
A million times.
You have two-day trip. You think, oh, we'll go back in there. I said, well, they might not be. You know, we go back in there, we catch a few, then we have to go somewhere else the next day to catch them, you know. But that's so true. That's so true. But, you know, talking to Black Wells were really in leading for the team of the year. They're right there. These guys are just incredible, you know. And so Chase, the last day, zeroed. He didn't catch a fish. They had won team of the year, and he's one heck of a fisherman. I mean, those Chase boys are, Blackwell boys are amazing, you know.
They're nasty.
And Colt won. Yeah, Colt won team of the year. I mean, not team of the year,
or
but
angler of the year. Yeah, he got angler of the year.
That's
pretty impressive in that strong company you're fishing against. I'll tell you that.
Oh my God, come get you somebody.
Man, that's don't be scared. Show up.
Somebody.
Pay your money.
Those guys are tough, man. Golly, you know. But talking to Barry and all that, those guys down there, and you know, and Colt won that angler of the year, and one of the guys beat him, Cody, but he didn't enter. You know, he didn't enter the deal for angler of the year, and Colt gave him that painting, you know, because he didn't, you know, he didn't give him the $10,000. He won $10,000, but you know, that was pretty classy of Colt to give that young man that painting, you know, that that print, you know, says, hey man, I know that I wish you'd enter that thing, but here you go, buddy. That was pretty classy. That was pretty good stuff.
Yes, that's I still have faith in humanity.
I do. The way Chad ran that tournament, you know, they had some issues there. And he cut nobody no slack. And that says a lot about that tournament, you know. So his biggest sponsor, his Mercury sponsor, Chris, came in 4 minutes late, had engine trouble, and he had to get disqualified because he's four minutes late.
That's the way it is, man. That's
the rules of the rules, buddy.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's like that time that I couldn't let Mike Mosley weigh in that giant fish. Well, one of his customers caught it in my tournament. They caught the drawbridge, and I said, hey, it's the same for everybody. And, you know, I can't let you come in here 3 minutes late and weigh a fish in like that and win the big trout pot.
No, sir.
Got to be on time.
You know, and Chad had a disqualified video. He had a video that a fish weighed 8-something, and he has a 3-man panel, and something happened that when they released that fish, you know, they said, man, that fish's only 6 pounds, you can tell, you know. And so they didn't, you know.
Really?
That fish, you know, and you know, it was a scale, something's going on, you know, there with the scale or something. And the deal was, okay, if you want to take a lie detector test on this deal, if you pass it, you can never fish Legends again, or we disqualify the fish and keep going and you can keep fishing the tournament. So they did that. They kept, you know, so that was a wise decision. But man, that's so good that he stands up, because you know, you don't want to have a tournament that it's not, you know, everybody's on the same border. You can't have somebody cheating or something when all these guys are working so hard, put so much time into this tournament. You can't go out and cheat on them and beat them. It's just not good, man. It's just,
yeah, we all fished a new tournament circuit that popped up back in the days of my Trout Masters, and they pulled those shenanigans like that, and guess what? They went out of business.
Yes,
it's got to be the same for everybody. They changed the rules at the end of the game. You know,
you get a reputation of being shady.
At the very, very beginning of the circuit, it was if you fished all six of them, you know, from Louisiana all the way to Port Isabel, you got 50 bonus points added to your, you know, totals that you accumulated all year long.
Well,
the team that they wanted to win didn't fish all six of them. They only finished five, and Blaine and I finished 20 points ahead of them, but then they had a meeting and decided, well, it's not fair that that team did so well, but they're not going to win because they didn't fish all of them. Well, they took all of our bonus points away, and those guys won, and that was the end of that deal.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, me and Blaine got screwed big time on that deal for Team of the Year.
I'll never hear about that one. Back
yeah, well, we'll talk about it off air sometimes. I ain't going to name any names, but it did happen. But it didn't happen again because they went out of business. I mean, you gotta treat everybody fairly and the same. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. I'll be right back at you, buddy. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And when you go by Boyd's, check out all the great fishing stuff they have there, whether it's lures or all their live bait. And their live bait is as good as it can possibly be. From their tanks to your live well, it doesn't get any better. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand there at the store. They have them on display. Or you can call Jason for more information and ask him about it. 281-701-8107. And while you're there, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp that they have there on display and great pricing, great availability. No farm-raised at Boyd's. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. And if you want to make crawfish orders, you can go to their website and do it ahead of time. Go to boydsonestop.com or call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It's 620 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we are back.
I think I wore that ZZ Top 8-track out.
Boy, I'll tell you, Fandango, remember that one? That 8-track tape?
Boy,
that was, we'd listen to that all the way down to Port Isabel. We'd go down there to go surfing in the spring.
I know it. We take it on a surf trip to Mexico. It was 17 hours from Corpus over to the West Coast. And I think we listened to that tape almost all the way over there. You know, and what was the one, Riders on the Storm? You know, that's another one.
Oh, yeah, The Doors.
The Doors, man. But I was thinking about all these tournaments that how much things have changed, Mickey, in the last, 40 years I've been dealing with this stuff. And, back before the Legends was the Legends, it was the Bath and Bay Bash,
Right.
And Tom Nix had it, which had the paper, and Tom was started that thing. And that first year that Jay and I fished it, it was incredible the amount of fish we caught. We were done at 9:30. Our last fish was 9.5 pounds, and we had 55 pounds, and we're sitting at the dock at Snoopy's waiting for them to open. It was just one of those classic deals, and we just smoked it the first year. So the second year, everybody's really gunning for it, We're the guys, we really want to beat Rousey and the Bosky brothers, and we had some pretty stiff competition in there,
And Bosky brothers were tough, man. They fished my Trout Masters. They caught some big fish.
Yeah, I fished with both those Octai. Those guys are super classy guys, too.
Tansel and Octai.
Yeah, Octai. They're super good guys. I fished them all my life, Good friends of mine. But, so the second year we really, it was going to be tough that second time. So Jay and I need two fish, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the west wind blows in at 45 miles an hour due west, front coming.
Oh,
and we
got to
be in the weigh-in at 3 o'clock. And I told Jay, I said, man, there's a place on the King Ranch shoreline, this pier, that these netters, the old gill netters, would set this big net on a west wind across there and catch these big trout. Let's go run and check it out. We're back up there, Mickey, and I'm throwing that Morning Glory, black with a chartreuse head, fat boy. That's the only thing they could see in that dark water. That water was stirred up, And I know I told the story, but I said it out loud to Jay Stinson. I said, God, let me catch a fish. I'll give it 25 cents to church. That fat boy hit the water, and I caught an 8.5 pound trout when it hit the water.
Oh, Lord.
Jay looks at me and goes, that's unbelievable. Jay zips up his jacket and goes out deep, Mickey, where he's in neck deep water. I know he's just zipped up, and
right.
He's firing into this hole, and boom, he catches 6.5. He goes, let's go. And we won that tournament. But that was one of those deals, But the thing was, so we come in, and the only boat that's not in is Rousey. Rousey's not in. And we got 6.5 minutes before weigh-in. And Tom Nix is standing at the end of the pier, and he goes, well, if I can see him in vision, he's legal. That's the rules. If we can see him coming to the weigh-in, well, 8 minutes went by. He ain't showed up. And Tom's still waiting. And everybody's sitting there being like, the tournament's over. It's over. And pretty soon Rousey comes in, has no fish. But, he was kind of hesitating on the rules there. And we always wondered what would have happened if Rousey would have had a fish, because he wasn't as set on those rules like Chad is. Chad is, when time's up, Bub, it's up.
So that's the way it's got to be. All my tournaments, you had to be standing in line with your bag of fish or you were DQ'd. It wasn't visible or see you out in the parking lot or pulling up to the dock. You better be standing in line with those fish when the horn blows or you're DQ'd. It's the way it ought to be.
That's the way it's got to be, Mickey. It has to be. And that's what Chad did with, Chris
no exceptions.
Golder is their number one sponsor. Chris is unbelievable. He's puts a lot of money into that thing, So he had engine trouble. He was 4 minutes late. Automatically, there was no questions asked. Chris says, I know I'm disqualified. Don't even think about it. So, he's that classy of a guy. But
I had to DQ a guy one time. He had the Coast Guard call us and say he was helping another boat. He was pulling him in. I said, well, tell him he better be here on time or don't even show up. Well, he showed up anyway about 30 minutes late and said, well, I was helping these guys and everything. I said, look, man, rules are rules. You are not going to walk in that building with that sack of fish and expect to weigh them in front of everybody. And it's a long story. It turned out somebody gave him two or three of the fish that he had. He didn't even catch them. And he got DQ'd for life. That guy was history. But I said, I don't care if you pulled over and changed a flat on George Bush's limo. You're late and no excuses.
That's good, Mickey. That's good.
You should have seen his face when I told him that.
Oh, man.
I had to take him outside the building. He was causing such a scene. I said, look, man, this don't fly. Rules are rules. You signed a waiver when you signed up for this. You know the rules, and you're supposed to apply to them. And I'm not reneging on my, fishermen.
Sir.
They all made the point to be here on time to weigh their catch in, and you're late. You're late. You're DQ'd. Yes, you're done.
You can't do that to those fishermen. You can't do that to those really good fishermen. And you look at these guys in the tournament. These guys are really good, and they're classy guys. They're competitive, but yet they respect each other and they're friends.
Yeah, they police themselves, and
they're
all above board.
Yes, That's what it's about.
Not to say there's not any cheaters out there, because there is. You got guys that are going, they're going to push the envelope. They're going to try to take advantage, but they always get caught. That's what that polygraph's for. It'll catch them every time.
How about those guys in that that tournament with those walleye? Got caught.
Isn't that something? Putting egg sinkers in their bellies. I mean, seriously.
Oh man. You know, you really got to, it's all about money there. It's not about beating your friends. It's all about you wanting to take a check home. That's right.
And it puts a blemish on the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a black eye, and then that guy got in trouble again for game violations. You know, after that, I mean, that's just, once an outlaw, always an outlaw, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, man. Golly. I don't think he'll be fishing any more tournaments.
Yeah, I've seen everything in the book over the years. It's just, you got to look at yourself in the mirror.
That's
Jeez.
It. You know, I put my boat into Chris's to get everything. I put my power steering pump. I got rid of that whining power and steering pump that's been driving me crazy in my boat. I put it, Chris, it was on the console. I put it in the back, so I don't have to listen to that whining another year. But as Chris was working on my boat, I got a bunch of stuff done to it. Got new carpet put on the trailer and all that stuff. And he was talking about how good those guys are about. For instance, they got a team there that knows they're not going to win, and they slip the team that has a chance to win. And they call them and say, hey, man, we're on the fish. I know you beat some fish. I can't win anyway. Why don't you come in on my fish? That's what kind of guys these are. So you can't win it. You're not going to win team of the year. You don't have it. But you're also good fish. Team of the year ain't always a good fish. And you call them and invite them into your spot. That's practice stuff.
Well, I'm sure there's rules against that, huh?
No, there's not.
No, there's
so
not.
So if you're invited in, so you're on some fish, and, you're not going to win or whatever, you can call somebody in your spot. You know, you can say legally call them and let them in there. That's what happens. Some people slid into some spots that the other anglers weren't going to win team of the year, but they helped them out. You know, so that's.
See, I had a no cell phone rule in mine where it was for emergency purposes only.
Wow, that's good, Mickey.
Yeah, no networking, man. You,
see, I wonder how Chad got that set up, because –
Well, they have to use their cell phones, just to, text the photos, with the fish catch, the videos. But I don't know. We had.
And I wonder, too, because a lot of places, in Amazon, you don't have reception on your phone.
Right.
I wonder how all that's working, if you're having to go to another area that's not a dead area to get your video certified, or how all that's working.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
How that was
right.
working.
Well,
but that was impressive. Bunch of big fish caught down south, but it wasn't as good as it was the week before. So those guys were scouting the week before.
Remember that big front came in. That changed everything.
Yeah, that changed everything. Before that, man, they were whacking them down south. They were catching big fish. When I talked to Jay last week, he said they caught, they caught one. One of the guys down there caught one. It was supposed to be 11, 11 and a half. Jay knows us.
Gosh.
I asked Jay, what's the biggest fish you've seen? He said, well, my customer had one about 9.5, and I had one that was right at 9, so there was some pretty big fish caught down there this winter. I think our buddy Jay is going to go back down there this summer and hang out in the trailer house and fish down there in July.
I can't blame him.
There's some big fish down there in July.
Well, Jay's caught a million fish in his lifetime. I mean, when are you satisfied? You get to a point in your life where, you want to catch big fish. I mean, that's...
Oh, man. Those are some of the best times I ever had, chasing those big fish with Jay. God, we had so much fun, pre-fishing those tournaments. Now we're just, he's too busy and we're too busy. But, man, that was a great time of my life, getting to hang out and really get serious about just focusing on just nothing but big trout for years. Mm. That's all we did. And now we're just trying. We're old. We're just trying to survive, So anyway, it's all good.
But, I'm telling you. For the memories.
I know it, buddy. It's good. It's all good.
They can't take that away from you.
No, sir. And I think this coming week's going to be good, Mickey. I think I got 4 days, which I can't believe I did 4 days. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're going to get her done. Hopefully, we got a window of the weather. I think. Tomorrow, Monday's looking pretty decent. I'm hoping that wind will slow down a little bit. And maybe
yeah, we're going to get a temperature drop with this front, too. You know, we're going to get those cooler nights.
Be back in the waders again. See, we're just about where we can lay wet waves.
Yeah, our water's running this morning. I was looking at all of it, anywhere from 76, 77 everywhere.
And the water felt good in the surf yesterday. Probably 75 in the surf yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Do you surf without a wetsuit?
Yes, yes. No, just skinned it. And, you know, it's nice as long as the wind's not blowing too hard. But, you know, if you can tell something's going on with the currents in the Gulf because, you know, last year we didn't have the sargasso seaweed that showed up, and the fishing wasn't that good. And this year we're seeing some of that sargasso weed starting to pile up offshore, the guys are telling me. So hopefully that'll mean we're going to have a better May in the surf because, you know, we just didn't have the big fish in the surf like we normally did last year. I know you guys didn't either.
No, so it was pretty grim. You know, some people got them, but, I mean, when you got that many miles of coast and everybody's wading out in the waters, you know, somebody's going to, you know, school's going to pull through them, but you know, for the most part, yeah. No, it was off.
Man, I look forward to that too. God almighty, I know Doug Pike wants to come down and fish the surf because I've had a couple of really good trips with Doug. I just can't quite catch it just right with him, but just on my first. But he hooked a tarpon with me, I think, 2 years ago in the surf, and almost got it right up to the beach. But I'm hoping I'll be able to call Doug and you guys come down and catch that beach fishing and get good again because that's a lot of fun. Just driving them down the beach looking for fish.
Yeah. That's there's not a lot of places you can do that anymore.
No. It's pretty cool. And we'll see what happens here. So, I got some good guys coming up Monday and all this week. It may, you know, when you got good guys, it makes it so much easier. If you just put them out and you can fish a bunch of different areas. Make you don't have to babysit them.
Well, and you can trust them to cover an area, and you know if there's any fish there, they'll catch them. Instead of having to backtrack and you know, you can pretty much turn them loose and somebody's going to step into them, going to find them, figure it out, you know.
I'm going looking at last year's and year before records on where they were at this time. And we're about 7 to 8 days behind. It's weird how.
You know, on the lakes too, you know, all the people I talk to, everything's running behind right now.
Yes, sir. Everything's behind. Same thing here. So I think the 15th of my favorite day to fish, the 15th of April, probably will be the 20th or 25th of April.
Come yeah, down. Doug Bird's April 15th has been put on the back burner a little bit.
Doc tell Doug to push you back a little bit, man. But it's all right.
Old Dougie. I'm sure he's looking down at all of us and laughing at us because he's catching 13-pounders every cast where he's at.
Oh, man, I hope he is. Golly.
He's in the big trout pie in the sky, baby.
Yeah, he was number one down here.
He was something else, man. Great guy.
When we got here, started, you know, him and Leroy Johnson. Leroy Johnson ran trips down the land cut. He just had a big boat. He put everybody on the lights. He'd take them down at dark and pile them all up on the piers and turn those lights on. Hundreds of fish on the lights. That was his charter business. The first guy down here was a under the lights type guy, and then it was Doug. You know,
right?
And that was cool.
Well, I remember when all of us were young, Doug and all of us, when we used to do those seminar trails together, you know, the Lone Star Pros.
I remember that, man. God
back
almighty.
In the day. And then we got through with that, and then him and Ron Benke started another one, you know.
Yeah.
Me and Jay,
you know,
and Blaine and all of us.
I never did that. I was just too busy fishing. I just could not pull myself away from these fish.
It was always on weekends, and I didn't mind knocking off weekends to do that, you know, do those classroom things we had going. Hang on, Cliff. Let me do another one real quick. I'll be right back.
All right, buddy.
Hold that thought. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for all your great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. What a great meat market they are. They're easy to find. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And their ground beef special, check that out. 10-pound bulk packs, $3.59 a pound. And all their different samples of smoked sausage available daily in the store. You can actually try it before you buy it. And if you're looking to have like a quarter calf or a half calf, you know, you can pre-order that and have it custom processed. and their wild game processing facility. It's open year-round, so if you're killing exotics or wild pigs or whatever, take them in. Have you some Vinnie dogs and hog dogs made out of it. Homemade hot dogs using your own venison or wild pigs. And your family can enjoy that all year long. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 640 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, buddy. That's good.
So I had a guy text me during the break. He said, Captain Mick, I know you've caught a lot of big fish in your day, but I don't think anybody's probably caught more 10-pound-plus fish than Cliff Webb. Ask him all the fishing he's done down there, what was the biggest fish that he ever saw that he was trying to sight cast for that he never caught?
Oh, there's one. The Stink Lake Trout. I call him Stink Lake Trout. And so there was Jack McElroy and Dick McCracken. So there was this big trout, and he lives in the mouth of this lake. And I was probably about 10 or 12 years old. And they were stalking this big trout. He was in there, and they couldn't catch him. So I got invited that day. And McElroy had a Ford pickup truck with a headache rack on it. And for $5, you could buy a fishing pass for the King Ranch. You could drive down the shoreline. You could open up the gate. The King Ranch would open the gate and let you drive down the King Ranch shoreline in a pickup truck to go fishing. And so we got our toe, we're barefooted, we got our toes stuck up in the headache rack. We're leaning over the top of the hood looking for trout. And we're going down, and right when we get to Stink Lake, you got to go around. You got to go four-wheel drive it through Stink Lake or go around it. And so we pull up to the bank, and we see Martha. That's the one that he named her, Martha.
Martha.
We see Martha. Martha. And that fish is every bit of 38 inches. Every bit of 38
inches.
Oh,
my goodness.
You know, and so we're all trying to get a game plan on how to catch Martha. You know, so McCracken, he goes way up into the ranch and goes back up and going to get way behind her. And McElroy says, I'm just going to stand here and see she'll come to the mouth, and I'm going to stand here. And they told me to sit in the boat. So I had to sit in the boat. You know, I sit there, and finally at the top kind of eased off in the muck out there in the mouth of that slough. We never did see her again, so I got to get out and go fishing. But, man, they never did catch her. You know, but that was a monster trout. And I've seen some, Mickey. You know, I sight-casted one that was right at 13 pounds, a 12, 15. I sight-casted that one. And I saw one a week later that was 2 or 3 inches bigger than that
one. Oh, my goodness.
She would not take anything. But I have a video. You remember Ernie Durr?
Yeah, I remember Ernie.
Remember Ernie Durr? Well, Ernie was fish with me, and we did those when that Mansfield Mauler came out. They had one called the Texas Rattler, and Ernie started that. So I was doing the shows with him doing the Texas Rattler. And so we're going to do a little promotional film on the Texas Rattler. So Ernie comes down, and at this time I'm running a Mayak, a redfish line with a TRP, and it runs super shallow.
Oh, yeah. You can spit on the ground and run across it with that boat.
Yeah. You know, and all I had was like a burn bar. I could stand on the console, have a little bar above the windshield I could hold on to and drive with my foot. This is how stupid we were. And so it's about 10 o'clock in the day, and I'm running down the King Ranch shoreline, and I turn into Tidegate, and I'm running behind Tidegate. I'll never forget this. And Ernie's got a pair of sunglasses. He pops one of the lenses out and tapes it over that camera lens. And now we can see really good. and I'm burning down that shoreline. These big old logs are coming in front of the, oh my God, we're videoing them. I go back and look at that video, and they're street trapped together, and I don't really realize how big this one is in the back. And she comes in front of the boat. I go back and I watch that tape about 10 times and go, oh my God, why didn't I stop? I said, you know, why didn't I stop and camp there for about 3 days? That was a stud. She was in there, you know, most of the fish with her were 9, 10 pounds, but there was one in there that had to be 13, 14 pounds in there, you know. But what really told you what was in that bay were the gill nets. You didn't think it was the sporties, they called them sporties, the rod and reel guys. They didn't hold a candle to what these guys were doing with 4 and 6 inch mesh out there. And, you know, my dad being a game, I got to see what came out of those nets. So you talk about really realizing what's out there. Oh, my God, Mickey. I saw some stuff in those nets in February. They were unbelievable. Those big drop. Lots of them, you know. So it was an eye-opener what we had. And I think we'll see it again. I think the way these limits are, we're going to see some of those big monsters again. Someone's going to catch one. You watch, you know, 14, 15 pounds in this couple of years.
Well, I had a netter, old Doug Merritt, lived across the street from me on Harbor Lane, my old house on Trinity Bay back in the day. And he'd come in the mornings after running his nets, and Pete and I would be waiting on the wind to lay down. My brother-in-law, we always fished together. When I didn't have a trip, we went fishing anyway. And we'd walk over there. And back then, you know, I think the biggest cooler you had was like an 86-quart igloo. Remember those? Trout were so big, they were bowed up in there, and the heads and the tails were sticking out of them. You know, just bowed up in these coolers. Big old monster, giant fish. And we're just hoping to catch one of those, and he's got hundreds of them.
Yes, sir.
And he's catching them every day, you know, December, January, all that. And we're going out there throwing mirror lures and just praying to catch one fish like that. You know, we'd catch some sevens and maybe an eight on occasion. And we're fishing where he's running his nets, and that just tells you. I mean, man, when those – You just don't realize what you're on until, you know, somebody gill nets an area and you're going, my goodness. Kind of like when we used to fish surf and those beach seiners would pull their nets in while he's trout as long as your leg.
I remember that.
We're catching 7, 8-pound fish. Those were schoolies compared to some of the fish they were netting, man.
You know, they started that, I guess, when I was young. I got to see that a couple times here on our beaches. It was amazing.
Yeah.
How big those nets were and how they would run them out and then pull them back in with the truck. They could hook onto them, pull them with the truck back in, you know. That's crazy stuff out there.
Yeah, that's...
You know, you think about throwing a lure, Mickey. Think about you walking with a mirror lure around a bunch of big trout. And I always like that thing that Jay said about you're sitting in a basketball court and there's three trout in it and you're trying to walk down that basketball court and put that plug in front of those three trout that are moving in there.
Right.
So think about what that's going on, the odds of you getting that plug in front of that trout. You know, in a gill net, you're sitting there 100 yards, and they're not going past it, you know. So, you know, that's the big deal. You're you know, when you catch one on the rod and reel, a big trout, you've done something. You know, you've really done something.
You know, and those big, big giant fish like that, they'd always run in like pairs to, you know, three, four, and five fish. And you could see it when they would hit those nets, where they'd end up all together in a net together like that. And when, you know, back in the 80s, when the North Shoreline East Bay would get really clean, you know, when we really had clear water back in those days, and we'd go over there post-front after a cold front. And I started doing that after what Doug Bird told me. He prayed for a cold front, and he'd head to Baffin the next day with that high pressure. And
I kind of
applied that up here, and the only place I could really catch big fish behind the front was East Bay. And we'd go over there and wade those flats, and, man, those big old logs. you'd look up in there in, like, knee-deep water, and you could see them. There'd always be anywhere from 2 to 5 fish, and it'd all be in a little pile together. And we'd cast and cast at them. And we didn't have the lures we have now to ambush those fish. I mean, I'd have died and gone to heaven if I'd have just had a Corky back then. But we were taking 70 in mirror lures, and we'd throw past those fish where we wouldn't spook them. And twitch that bait by him, and you'd see one fish out of that group, he'd just peel off, and then he'd just come suck it down. I didn't even want to fish any other way than that. After that one winter, I think it was 84 or 85, I don't remember. It was in the 80s, but, man, every front that came through and it cleared out and laid down, the next morning you could go with that high pressure and that sun and that tide had come back, and those big, big fish would just roll up on those flats. It was just incredible.
Yeah, you know, in the old days, Mickey, I thought that I had to wait till a couple of days after the front to get them shallow, and I would be out there in the bombing targets in the middle of the bay in that 15 foot of water, jigging those giant red worms parallel up and down,
right,
catching those big fish out there in the deep mud, not realizing that those big ones were up on that shoreline the next day in that sunlight warming up, you know. And finally we figured it out, you know, that they're, by watching the bait and burning through there, those fish are up there and they're going to eat shallow. So it's funny how we went from Ernie Butter and all the guys would go out there and just jig all everything out deep. You know, everything was out there in that 10, 12 foot of water and bath, and there was a lot of fish out there.
Right.
You know, and then we realized, hey, man, there's a lot of fish on the shoreline in cold water, too. A lot of fish.
Yeah, and I remember some mornings it'd be below freezing. You know, and we'd get out with our waders on, and hey, man, those big fish were in there.
Well, you think about if you're a trout and you're sitting in a bucket of ice water, the best thing you can do is slide up shallow with your black back and some dark bottom and let that sun hit you in the back.
That's it. Soft mud bottom near oyster shell and points. And I mean, just, boy, those fish would get in there tight. I mean, we caught some that one year that couldn't have been. I mean, their backs were almost out of the water. That's how skinny they were. And they were just sunning in there.
I love this.
You know, like lizards.
I know when Doug Pike and I got those fish that time, we'd gun the trolling motor. They were so shallow. The trout would just glide across that 2 foot of water, just dozens of them. All of them really shallow. It was super cold, but the sun was out, and they were right there on that black mud. It's kind of like you putting a black tarp in your backyard. It's 45 degrees. You can sit on that black tarp. It's a little bit warmer. You know, you think about that.
Well, sure. Naturally.
You know, and so that's what's going to happen.
You know, when I caught my biggest stringer ever in East Bay at the refuge that year, that November of 89, I reeled in a fish, probably, you know, everything I was catching was 8 pounds or bigger. I mean, it was one of those days. It was just,
right,
you know, what dreams are made of. But I reeled this one fish in about eight and a half pounds. And when he got about 10 feet from me, I saw a dark spot behind him. And I thought, there ain't no sharks in here. It was a trout. It was so big, it'd curl your hair. I can't even describe how big that fish was. It was so broad, and the head and the tail. I mean, the tail was as big as a whisk broom, and that fish burned out. It just turned sideways and burned out. And I know that fish was in the 34 to 36 inch class, but he was as big around as he was long. He was huge.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I hook that fish, you know?
I always think those big ones, they got that big bottom lip sticking out like a point, you know, that big.
Oh, yeah.
Their tail and their head, you know, it gives them away that big flashwater tail, that point on it. Like when Bob was holding that fish he caught in the surf, look at the tail on that fish, Mickey.
I know it.
You can tell that's a monster, you know. I fished with him two or three times this week. We ain't had a bite, but we're over there throwing those big lures down those rocks. I'm still throwing that 12-inch bait. I'm going to get one of those big ones, but I'm going to, on my days off, I'm going to crank those big baits, see what happens.
You know, I got into a school like that of big ones one morning at the hog pens in East Bay, and it was like June, and they'd been in there spawning all night, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. These trout were actually tailing. You know, you can see their tails.
That's neat, isn't it? Yes, I've
seen
that.
I guess it's that post spawn activity or whatever. I couldn't believe the size of size. I had to wade up as close as I could to them to make sure they were trout. The tails were so big, I thought they were bull drum. And
I've seen that. You think they're drum, you go up there and they got this big old square tail. That's a trout. You start seeing spots on.
Oh, man, and the only thing we could catch them on was bone-jumping minnows. I mean, and man, you'd roll one through there, and it was like a bomb went off. And I just had one guy with me that morning, and, I mean, everybody had, you know, we had 75, 80-pound stringers, you know, our 10 fish. And we weren't even, we weren't even scratching the surface of what was in there. It was just incredible.
Well, I seem like that when I'm sure in the winter run. Oh, God. And I can't even fish all the fish I want to fish. I can't get over to those other ones because there's too many in front of me.
Well,
you know,
it's like buck fever, you know, you get when you see that giant buck. I mean, there's just so much going on. You're a nervous wreck.
Yes, it is. It's good stuff.
You talk about stress.
Yes, and I remember the days you get to bring your pliers or something. Your hands are just bleeding from taking fish off, and you're still going. You don't even want to walk back to the boat and get your pliers because you want to catch another big fish.
That's
exactly
right. Hey, I don't care. Hey, I can grow some new fingers. Give me that big trout, man.
Oh, those trout are so addicting, those big fish. Man, there ain't nothing like them, you know?
No, it's exciting.
I'm never tired of chasing big fish, Mickey.
I long for that. I just, feeling you get when you're in them like that. There's nothing like it, nothing.
Yeah, I think so, too, you know. I know the redfish are great and all that stuff, but there's something about a speckled trout, guys. Man,
yeah, that's, I mean, trout's the ultimate, you know, when they're big like that. There's just, I've done it all, and that's it.
Yeah, I've done the snook thing. I got crazy on the snook in Costa Rica and stuff, but still, the speckled trout, man, day after day, the speckled trout.
I kind of got over
my snook thing, you know. But I think this week's going to be good, Mick. I think I'm going to send you a picture of a big fish this week. I got good fishermen, and hopefully I got some decent weather for at least 2 or 3 days. I think Friday's going to be blown out.
You just have to play it day to day, brother. You know, it's that time of year, man. It's been a weird thing, but. Cliff, if somebody wants to call you and come down and go try to get a big one, how do they get a hold of you, brother?
All right, Mickey, I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, now I'm so fired up talking about big trout, I won't be getting a nap this morning.
I'm going fishing right now. I'm going to head to the beach right now and throw something.
Attaboy.
All right, buddy.
All right, Cliff, thanks. Enjoyed it. See you, man. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, Sunday morning, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.